Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, help me to make this time of prayer fruitful. I give you this half hour so that I can listen to you, to see what you have to tell me. Help me to make it fruitful. And help me to find time every day to do this, to stop and pray, to come into your presence. We celebrate each year the feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. You carried that cross, you died on the cross, and it was truly an exaltation, because through your death you gave us life. You redeemed us. We were no longer estranged from the Father. We were reconciled with him. But it took your suffering and death to bring that about. And truly, the cross is our exaltation. But it was your exaltation too. And St. Paul tells us that, have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, because you emptied yourself to take our human nature, and then lowered yourself further to be obedient unto death, that cross that you carried for love of us, God has highly exalted you. And Lord, this will be our exaltation too, that we follow your exhortation. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And you give us those crosses because you love us. The cross comes in various ways, simply the fulfillment of our daily duties, living out our family life, our work, our study, looking after other people, bearing the crosses of sickness and accidents that come, to take up those crosses, not to flee from them. When we take them up, we are exalted. We are praised by you. We grow in holiness. We grow, humanly speaking, in character. And Lord, you need us to be strong, not only for ourselves to fulfill our duties, but to go out into this world and bring the gospel, as you sent the apostles out 2,000 years ago, to all nations, to teach, to baptize. That mission goes on. All the baptized are called to fulfill it, to bring your presence, your love, your truth, your gospel of joy to everyone. And so many are lost, You need us. But to fulfill that mission, we must be strong. We cannot be weak-willed. The challenges are great. When we look at our world today and compare it, let us say, with the world 60 years ago, it is vastly different. 60 years ago, practically everybody went to Mass, and Protestants went to their churches, and people of other faiths went to their temples, and marriages stayed together. And one could turn on television at any hour of the day, and it was wholesome. Things were very different. Drugs didn't exist. The contraceptive pill didn't exist. The internet didn't exist, with all of the good that it brings us, but also all of the dangers and the harm. Today's world is very different. We turn on television and we are horrified at many hours of the day, and this even often with the commercials. And people don't go to Mass anywhere near in the numbers they did years ago, and marriages don't stay together, and we do have the internet to lead us astray as well as to lead us to you. And the scourge of drugs and pornography. It's a different world. And Lord, you need us in this world. You need us to be other Christ, to go out and spread your goodness, your truth, to show people the way to happiness, because they're lost. They don't know where to find that happiness that you want for all. You said that my joy may be yours. You need us to be strong. We do battle against those three forces of the world, the flesh, and the devil. First, the world. And this is the world that we just described. The way people live without God, what we see on television, the internet, moral depravity in so many ways, marital infidelity. The world is not leading us to God. It never did. But today it is like a very fast-flowing stream, pushing us away from God. And we have to be strong to keep on paddling our canoe upstream against that current. And then added to the world, that is, the environment around us, the flesh, which we can consider as the effects of original sin within us. And here we know those tendencies, the tendency to laziness, to softness, to self-indulgence, selfishness, pride, vanity, all of these effects of original sin, which in themselves are not sinful. But they are weaknesses in our human nature that make it necessary for us to have to struggle, to have that strength of will, that strength of character, to overcome these tendencies. We have them, but we can overcome them if we struggle. We don't have to be lazy. We don't have to be soft and comfort-seeking. We can have that strength of will. We need it. And then the devil. The devil is real, and he has so many successes today. We are all aware of the temptations that he comes with in our own lives. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where to tempt us. And so often he wins because we don't have the love of God. We don't have the strength of will to combat it. Lord, in order to go out into this world and bring you and change this world for the better, to fulfill our duties, to stand up to these temptations that the world, the flesh, and the devil gives us, we need that strength. We need that character. We need that virtue that we call fortitude, the virtue that strengthens the will to overcome the difficulties in life. All those difficulties that we have just mentioned. We need strength of will. We cannot be soft. St. Jose Maria writes in his book, Furrow, in the chapter on personality, "The Lord needs strong and courageous souls who refuse to come to terms with mediocrity, but will be able to enter all kinds of environments with a sure step." These were the saints. They went out into very difficult environments, and they brought God, and they helped so many to find him. And then the next point, a calm and balanced character, and inflexible will, deep faith, and an ardent piety. These are indispensable characteristics of a son of God. Let us mention them again. A calm and balanced character. Does that describe me? Calm, balanced? Or am I prone to lose my temper, to give up and become discouraged? And inflexible will. Not a weak will that gives up in the face of difficulties, but an inflexible will, deep faith, and an ardent piety. Lord, so that we are anchored in you. These are indispensable characteristics of a son of God. And then the next point, number 418. The Lord can raise children of Abraham from the very stones, but we must make sure that the stone is not crumbly. For though hard rock may be shapeless, it is easier to hew good stone for building from it. We cannot be that soft stone, but rather that hard rock that you need to build this cathedral, this tall building, with character, with strength of will. And Lord, help us to examine ourselves personally and ask the question, where am I on that spectrum of people who are, on the one hand, very soft and weak-willed, for whom everything is a problem, who can't get motivated, who sit there and think of what they ought to do and don't have the willpower to do it, and on the other hand, people who are strong-willed, who are tough, who get things done, who see what needs to be done and set about doing it and finish it until the end, for whom nothing is a problem. And they face the obstacles and they overcome them. Lord, where am I on that spectrum? Am I that strong-willed, tough person that goes out into this world and makes a difference? Or am I soft and weak, and people complain about me and tell me, why don't you do something? We don't have the motivation. We don't have the willpower. Lord, help us to grow in this virtue of fortitude, of willpower. And how will we grow? We begin with something that seems an unlikely means, and that is to be closer to you, to have a stronger prayer life. We might ask, what does this have to do with being strong-willed? Simply that we know that by ourselves we can do nothing. We are weak, but we can do all things in you who give us strength. God is my refuge and my strength. Tu es Deus fortitudo mea. You, O God, are my strength. And the more anchored I am in you, the stronger I will be, the more love, the more grace I will have. St. John writes in his first letter in the fourth chapter, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love." We love because he first loved us. Lord, you love me, and I want to love you more. Then love drives out fear of undertaking these difficult tasks, of standing up to the sinfulness of so many people and trying to help them. Love drives out fear, but love comes from my relationship with you, from my prayer life. And just as now we are praying and we're getting closer to you and we're seeing that you are with us until the end of the world to strengthen us, to help us fulfill that task as you were with the apostles, the more we can spend some time each day praying, talking with you, listening to you, the stronger we will be. And then, too, you give us another reason why our being close to you is so important. In the Sermon on the Mount, you say, "Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." People who are not close to God, who are hearing your word and not putting it into practice. We want to be people who are close to you, who hear your word and put it into practice, like Our Lady. Then we will be built on rock. Then we can go out into this world and truly make a difference and stand up to all of those obstacles that life will bring. Then we won't be swept along by the current and by every wind. We will stand on our own two feet and stand on you. You are our strength. And then another way of growing in this virtue is growing in the spirit of penance, following your invitation to take up our cross daily and follow you, to be more mortified, to see what you are asking of us, from getting out of bed to starting our work, to smiling at someone, to being more patient, and exercising our will there and growing in that willpower. Not being subject to every whim of eating this out of time, eating that which we shouldn't be eating at all, eating too much, watching too much television. To be more mortified. To exercise our will, and every time we overcome one of those temptations, we exercise our will and it becomes stronger. By being more mortified, we will be those stronger persons that we want to be. And those athletes know all about self-denial, self-discipline. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians about that. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Those athletes who live so much self-control, so much self-denial in their diet, in their regime of practice, training, exercise, they know all about self-control and what strength they have. To compete, to go to the Olympics, to win a medal, but even getting to the Olympics, and even those who don't get to the Olympics, all those who know what it is to practice, to train, to live self-discipline, are already victors. They are exalted. And then to receive the sacraments regularly. If we want to be strong, we need to be anchored in you, and we are anchored in you through the sacraments, through the sacrament of the Eucharist, where you live in us. We live in you. How much that strengthens us to go out into this world. the sacrament of penance, because we do fall. We all sin. We go back, we tell you we're sorry. You forgive us our sins and fill us with grace. It truly strengthens us for this battle. And then to struggle in all those areas of our life where we are tested, all those things that we find difficult, instead of giving up, not doing what we ought to do, that we enter into the battle, that we pick up our cross and follow you. And that first battle is getting out of bed. And how many people, when the alarm goes off, turn on the snooze button and roll over and have another 5 or 10 minutes? Lord, we can't do that. If we have set the alarm, it is because we know that that is the time we should get up. And let us have the firm resolution that the snooze button doesn't exist. When the alarm goes off, we get out of bed and start the day. Remembering those words, too, that the Kyrie of ours says that the devil once said if he could have the first minute of the day, he was assured of all the rest. We'd lose that first battle by not getting out of bed, and we're behind all day. And maybe our family comes and complains, get out of bed. We need to get to school. We need to get to work. They get angry with us. We get angry with them. We carry that anger throughout the day. The devil has had a big victory. Lord, help us to get out of bed, to face that first obstacle, which is simply tiredness, reluctance to get out of bed, but getting out of bed. Start the day on time. All those obstacles that we face in our work or study. There will be many little ones. Simply the difficulty of facing a task, a chore, a job that we have been putting off because we find it distasteful, not easy to solve. But we pick up that cross. We do that job. We study that subject that we don't like. We grow in willpower. We fulfill our duties. All of those whims, those feelings. I feel like checking my emails. I feel like checking my phone for messages that someone might have said. I feel like checking the score in that game that is presently in progress. I feel like opening the mail that just arrived, turning on the television, having a cup of tea, and things that can be all good in their time. But not to be creatures of whims who, because we feel like it now, have to do it now. St. Jose Maria gives us the antidote to that in what is perhaps the shortest point in his book, The Way. In point number 5, he writes so succinctly, get used to saying no. No. Now is not the time to follow those whims. There will be another time when I should do that. Now God is asking me to work, to study, to give myself to my family, not to give in to those whims. Then we are soft and we simply become softer, dominating our temper. And here again we are all different. Some are prone to lose their temper more readily. Others much less likely to do that. We all have a temper. We all have moods. Are we able to dominate our temper? And dominating temper requires great willpower, great fortitude, that we not get so angry, that we not become so impatient. And patience, too, is a part of the virtue of fortitude. To dominate that irascibility, that desire to say something that we shouldn't say, to get angry when we shouldn't be getting angry. Lord, help me to be more peaceful, to live that work of mercy, to bear wrongs patiently. But for that, we need more fortitude. And then to confront the difficulties that life brings, the sicknesses, the accidents, the upsets of one thing or another. We lose something. We lose our job. The business that we are involved in fails through no fault of our own. Life brings its difficulties, brings its setbacks, and here especially, the strong will overcome them. Nothing is a problem. This is nothing. I can overcome this. We don't get discouraged. We don't give up. Or do we? Maybe we are soft, and the difficulty comes, we can't take it. Lord, help us to have the strength to confront those difficulties. Difficulties come in life. They're part of your plan for us. Pope Benedict, speaking to priests in Italy in August 2006, had some beautiful comments on that. He said, "A beauty consisting of harmony alone is not true beauty. Something is missing. It becomes insufficient. True beauty also needs contrast. Darkness and light complement each other. Even a grape, in order to ripen, does not only need the sun, but also the rain. Not only the day, but also the night. We priests ourselves," he went on, "both young and old, must learn the need for suffering and for crises. We must put up with and transcend this suffering. Only in this way is life enriched." And how much people have grown with the suffering that life gave them. We are all edified by watching the Paralympics. Those athletes, all of whom had a major setback in their life. Some may have been born with that disability. Others acquired it through an accident, a debilitating illness. And they all overcame it. They didn't lie down and think, "Woe me. Why me? Why does God allow these things to happen?" And then collapse in a heap and give up. They overcame that crisis, that difficulty, that setback. And now they go to the Olympics and they win, or they win a medal, or they are simply there competing. That is a victory of the human will over difficulty. Lord, help me not to be so soft, to confront the difficulties that you send me because you love me, as you have done it to all the saints. They suffered so much, and you said it, "Those I love, I chastise." And you said of St. Paul, "I will show him how much he has to suffer on my account." Lord, help me to be stronger. And then to withstand those temptations to sin. The temptations will come. The devil is there. Life brings temptations. How often do I give in? And Lord, I'm sorry when I give in even once. Lord, help me to love you more so that when the devil comes, I can stand up to him and say, "No, I want to love God. I don't want to offend him by this sin." To be stronger in those moments of temptation. Lord, you need us. You need us to be strong in this world, to fulfill our own personal duties, to grow in character, to have that strength of will, to bring you into the lives of others. And let us read some words of St. Thomas More, writing to his children. "It is now no merit for you children to go to heaven, for everybody gives you good counsel. Everybody gives you good example. You see virtue rewarded and vice punished, so that you are carried up to heaven even by the chins. But if you ever live in a time that no man will give you good counsel, no man will give you good example, when you see virtue punished and vice rewarded, if you will then stand fast and firmly stick to God on pain of death, if you are but half good, God will allow you for whole good." What good advice, and how relevant to our day when people don't give us good counsel, don't give us good example, and rather we have to be the ones to give them that good advice and that good example and show them that virtue is possible, that virtue is desirable, that we can stand up to these influences in the world and make this world a better place, that we be that positive peer pressure that people need. We finish our prayer, and let us go back to St. Paul, and this time to his letter to Timothy at the end of his life. He writes, "I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Lord, help us to fight the good fight here and now, to finish the race, to keep the faith, so that we too can look forward to that reward. You took up your cross and carried it, and it was your exaltation and ours. Help me to pick up my cross and carry it to the end, to receive that crown. And Mary, my mother, you stood beside the cross. You suffered there. You didn't run away. You bore that cross of Jesus together with him. Help me to be close to him, to be strong-willed, to pick up whatever crosses life brings, to carry them to the end, to be with you and our Lord forever in heaven. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.